Full Credit to the Boys is brought to you using quality microphones and interfaces from Rode Microphones. Australian owned and operated, Rode products are world-class audio equipment. If you're creating a podcast or making music, you need Rode on your side. Rode Microphones, exclusive audio sponsor of Full Credit to the Boys. This week on Full Credit to the Boys, the NRL's inaugural injury round, a roaring success. 2018 Ricky Stewart is back, and we love it. And we ask, has it aged well? Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Full Credit of the Boys live from the Craig Gower Studios. You can find us on Twitter at FCTTB_podcast, Instagram FCTTB podcast, all one word. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at former_legend. You can find the bloke to my right on Twitter at Sid Punts, all one word. He's a man who this week was the first Aussie to get the Russian COVID vaccine, Sputnik 5. He's been forced to hand back his boat license after attempting a 3-point turn in the Suez Canal. And tonight, he's wearing a prosthetic penis. Welcome, Sid.
Yes, well, hello, former. Hello, Australia. Hello, Moon Man. I know you're listening. We dead set cannot stay out of the media, former. We're in a purple patch. Last week, we were all over Fox NRL on Twitter and the Telegraph newspaper due to @Can_Crusader going down to the statue and putting Devon on Cam Smith's head. Well, Triple M have now picked it up through Moon Man. Have a listen.
Let's move on to Cameron Smith's statue down in Melbourne, unveiled a couple of weeks ago now. Somebody has put a bald spot on the statue in the form of a slice of Devon. They're whacked on top of his head.
Really good. That's actual audio from Triple M, and that's the quality you get from there.
Yeah, it is. Moon Man then went on to make a couple of observations, or jokes as he calls them, but they weren't very good, so I cut them out. In Sunday's paper as well this week, I was very nearly in Buzz's spotted column, former. It's a lifelong dream of mine to be spotted by Buzz. A photo of Junior Pierce, Mike Whitney, and John Paul Young from our rehearsal a few weeks ago for the live show appeared in Buzz's column, but old Sid Punts was cut out of the photo, unfortunately. But one day I will make that column, and I encourage all our listeners to just keep on emailing Buzz Rothfield until that day arrives.
Yeah, just before we go on too, we were talking about all the last few weeks, including when Moon Man, people are stealing our gear.
Yeah.
Sid, what was my big idea during the off season?
We wrote it up on the whiteboard, a segment called Has It Aged Well?
And what was one of the shows I wanted to go back and revisit about whether it's aged well or not, Sid?
There was a few. Hey, Hey, It's Saturday was one of them.
Was it?
Yep.
Later on, someone's beat us to the punch.
Obviously, they have, unfortunately.
Obviously heard our idea and used it as their own. Yep. Probably not that part. But yeah, and then we might have a look at a couple of other things that haven't aged so well.
Yeah, it's a good segment.
Might have aged worse than Hey, Hey, It's Saturday. FCTTV. Before we go on, I fell down a rabbit hole of watching Steel Panther videos again.
Oh, nice.
Mate, are they the best rock band in the world?
Yeah, one of. The SKPs is up there.
Very close, yeah. I find there's less gratuitous nudity at a Steel Panther gig than your gig.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Moorfields Bowling Club this Saturday, people. Come down. You want to see me get nude?
Get your tally whackers out.
Free entry. In more ways than one.
And exit. This first story comes from the Sackville Sentinel, and it's human penises are shrinking because of pollution, warned scientists.
Oh, no.
Penises are shrinking and genitals becoming malformed because of pollution, an environmental scientist has warned in a new book detailing the challenges facing human reproduction. I'll tell you what, Sid, of all the excuses I've used, I've never thrown up the greenhouse gases excuse, but
have you noticed how pristine the environment is in Oakley?
Do you reckon? That's right. Clearest air in Australia, they reckon. Oh, you reckon I won't be getting out of a pool and I won't be yelling out, it's cold in the pool. I'll be like, greenhouse gases. Climate change is killing me. Greta Thunberg. Dr. Jasmine Rice writes that humanity is facing an existential crisis in fertility rates as a result of phylarteries.
Oh, here we go again. This is what happened last week. You could not pronounce anything.
Well, phylarteries.
Phylarteries? I don't know how you got phylarteries out of that.
I Googled it last night, dick hat. Get that in here.
Did you get Google Translate to read it out to you? Oh, and good for you.
There's actually a thing.
Good for you.
There's actually a thing that says this word is pronounced phylarteries, and then it gives you a definition.
Well, so you should probably do that every week.
Right in hell, mother. It's a chemical used when manufacturing plastics that impacts the hormone-producing endocrine system.
Yeah, well, you didn't look up that one, did you?
Check up endocrine.
Endocrine.
As a result of this pollution, a number growing number of babies are being born with small penises, Dr. Jasmine Rice writes. Her book, titled Countdown, I love the show, Molly Meldrum, examines how our modern world is threatening sperm counts, altering male and female reproduction development, and imperiling the future of the human race.
I don't think Molly Meldrum grew up with pollution around him, from what I've heard.
Tell you what, Dr. Jasmine Rice sounds like a good ball of fun, doesn't she?
Good at parties.
Stuck in a corner talking to her at a party.
Yeah.
Dr. Rice's research began by examining phylarte syndrome. That's right. Something.
Look how proud you are. What a great moment this is.
I think I've added a tay at the end of it. But phylarte syndrome. Something.
Syndrome.
Something observed in rats, which found that when fetuses were exposed to the chemical, they were likely to be born with shrunken genitals. She discovered that male human babies who had been exposed to phylarteries in the womb had a shorter, genital distance.
Good boy, well done.
Something that correlated with penile volume. Dr. Rice also went on to say that other possible causes for small penises are excessive masturbation and mullets. Dr. Rice, who is a professor in environmental medicine and public
what
health.
What chance did you have?
Got the trifecta up, first one for the year. Dr. Rice is a professor in environmental medicine and public health at the Mount Sinai Hospital. In New York City, based her work on a series of peer-reviewed research studies. One study published in 2017 found that sperm levels among men in Western countries had dropped by more than 50% over the past four decades. Tell my curtains, that's it. after examining 185 studies involving close to 45,000 healthy men, I tell you what, have you met a woman that knows more about blokes, todgers and baby batter, Sid, than Dr. Jasmine Rice?
Good
Dr. Rice believes that the rapidly decreasing fertility rate means that most men will be unable to produce viable sperm by 2045.
Well, that story, former, was just full of bad news, except for the fact that you can now put a name to your condition finally.
Pilates.
That must be comforting, even though I'm still doubtful that you can say it correctly. I'm going on that Google Translate thing later in the show. Let's test you.
Men smuggling gold under their wigs busted suspicious hairstyles spotted at customs, says the Coonamble Courier. Two men.
Did this happen at Coonamble International Airport?
I think in departures. Geez, because there's only one way you want to go through Coonamble, and that's out of there. Two men were caught trying to smuggle gold and cash through an airport underneath their wigs. Eagle-eyed customs officers stopped the pair as they tried to leave because of their suspicious hairstyles.
Did you see these photos?
Mate, if I had a dollar for suspicious hairstyles. Every time. Oh, that's suspicious, that hairstyle. You go into 7-Eleven late at night, they go,
uh-oh. Here he comes.
On closer inspection, officials quickly discovered gold paste packets weighing 698 grams had been hidden in the fake hair. Peeling back the wigs revealed black packets filled with cash and gold that had been glued to the men's heads. Gold was also found stashed in their socks as well as their rectum.
Whoa, that took a turn, didn't it?
Their prison purse. God's hairy wallet.
I didn't read that bit.
The fist mitten. The stink wrinkle. The corn cave.
The corn cave. I like it. Got some bullion up his corn cave.
So happy I caught that one last night. The money along with chunks of corn that were pictured laid out on the
24 carat and corn.
Oh, shout out to Australian cricketer. No, it doesn't matter. The Colonel. It's a joke only me, you and Mike Whitney.
Yep.
You'll get. The money along with chunks of corn was pictured laid out on the counter as the cooks looked on red-faced. Mandeep Arstunnel and Backdoor Apoon were both later arrested in the terminal in Chennai.
Bordering on racist there. Bordering on some Hey Hey and Saturday gear right there, man.
Why are people so unkind?
Wow.
Mandeep Arstunnel and Backdoor Poon were both later arrested in the terminal after arriving in Chennai, India, from Dubai. In a statement, officials reportedly said at Chennai Airport, in the last 2 days, a total of 5.55 kilos of golden corn had been seized from passengers arriving.
Oh, I've lost it.
Arriving and departing to Gulf countries. Six people in all have been arrested for trying to smuggle in gold. Earlier on Saturday, a 24-year-old named Rimder Ass Jam was reported to have been caught at the Chennai Airport's exit. I'd say they got caught at the exit. On searching him, four packets of gold paste weighing 1.5 kilos, three packets of brown paste weighing 4 kilos were recovered from his socks and stitched inside his underwear. In another case, Indigo Flight CE66.
I don't think it matters.
I'm right, thanks. Indigo. Who are you flying with? Air Indigo. No, I'll
best
give it a miss,
luck.
Bro. flight number 5050. I was searched at 8 gold bars with foreign markings weighing 933 grams that are said to have been found inside a cloth bag hidden in a hollow pipe under the seat of the aircraft.
Oh, wow. What a story. I don't even know what to contribute here, but I wonder if Michael Ennis gets stopped by airport security all the time. He is airline. That doesn't look right, man. He doesn't have a forehead. At best, he's got a 3-head. But I looked this up. People try and smuggle shit all the time through airports. What about this joker? Airport staff opened up this fella's bag and all it had in it was three pairs of undies, a soap on a rope, a pair of bunny slippers and two rocket-propelled grenade launchers. I want to invite to that party.
F-C-T-T-B. Oh, last story comes from the Tibberborough Telegraph. It'd be pretty thin paper up there in Tibberborough, you'd imagine.
Mostly ads, let's be honest.
The front page is the back page.
It's more a leaflet.
They put it under your windscreen wipers you fill up with petrol. Which is what they should be doing with the Telegraph anyway, let's be honest. A member of the European Parliament representing Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban's fudge party has resigned from his position in Brussels after he was caught leaving what is described as a 25-man orgy on Friday. Yeah. Colin Sodomy resigned on Sunday after he admitted he breached Belgium's strict lockdown rules to attend a sex party, Politico reported on Tuesday. The police found 25 naked men at the gathering, not this dream again, including Sodomy and some diplomats, the Tipperborough Telegraph reports. The newspaper quoted a local police source as saying, "We interrupted a gangbang." Did that interpret right?
That's what it was.
Orban's Hungarian government has curtailed LGBTQ rights since he was elected in prime minister in 2010. Sodomy, who fronted FIDS in the European Parliament, helped rewrite Hungary's constitution to protect the institution of marriage as the union of a man and a woman.
It's always these blokes that get caught in it.
Yeah.
It's weird.
That Sodomy...
All right, we might be cutting that out. There's a line.
Authorities said narcotics found in Sodomy's bag were not, he had not taken the drugs that were in his bag. Sodomy on Tuesday said he was present at a private party and apologised. He announced his resignation as an MP and asked people to treat the matter as a strictly personal to him. I ask everyone not to extend it to my homeland or to my political community, he added.
Yeah, look, this is outrageous, former. He shouldn't lose his job for attending a gay gangbang. I was like, seriously. I'm glad IGA Oakley doesn't have that rule. Mate, if they knew how many gay gangbang parties I've attended just this week, Tuesday trick day is my favourite. Mate, I tell you what, I'd be dragged straight up to HR.
Mate, I've never seen a bloke go to the public toilet so often.
Thankfully, Australian politics doesn't have the same standards. There'd be some nervous types in Parliament House right now.
NRL Round Review brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today. Yeah, we started on Thursday night and it's one of the best games you'll ever see, Sid, when the Panthers reversed the result of last year's grand final to beat the Storm in a nail-biting two-point victory at Full Credit to the Boys, brought to you by bluebet.com.au, stadium 12 points to 10. The game finished at two tries all with just an extra goal from Stephen Crichton proving the difference. Panthers second row, Kurt Capewell found a hole in the 79th minute to score a try and put the Panthers in front, and then an incredible defensive effort from the flying Ugboot, Viliami Kikau, on the final play of the game stopped the Storm from scoring a try to secure the 2 points. Kikau denied Justin Olam a four-pointer after the siren with a desperation tackle despite being knocked over in the defensive line only 10 seconds before. The win is the Panthers' third win from three starts in 2021, and for the Storm, they are now one win and two losses.
Yeah, one win from three is still a solid start to the season, former.
All the good teams are there.
Any team on 2 points at the moment is still in the hunt to win the comp.
And some would say the biggest danger.
Absolutely.
Hungriest.
But what a game of footy this was. It was an absolute pearler. It went right down to the wire. Both sides were throwing the ball around, swinging it from sideline to sideline. And with 3 minutes to go, the Panthers threw everything at the Storm defence until your mate Capewell found a way to the line. It looked all over, but in the last seconds of the match, as you said, Olam went for the try line with Josh Hadakar unmarked outside him.
Criminal.
And was unbelievably held up by Kikau. Is there anything that man can't do? An amazing finish to a fantastic game of football.
Yeah. Now, one of the most written about reserve graders since Jeff Fenwick donned some headgear for Parramatta in the 90s has been Matt Burton from Penrith. The young half has had more raps than Tutankhamun, and his club for 2022, the Bulldogs, have been sweating on him being released early to play out of Belmore in 2021. On Friday night, he replaced the injured Nathan Cleary and showed just how good he might be. He had an absolute cracking game. He finished with nearly 600 kicking metres. He made 20 tackles, 3 tackle busts and 46 running metres.
Yeah, it's no wonder Judas won't let him go. What a replacement for Chinocchio he is. I'd love to just have one half back at the Tigers. They've got a plethora of them. He had a great game. I know both teams had players out, but to beat the Storm and start the year 3-0, the Panthers are looking the business, I reckon.
Yeah. I can't see how they lose.
You can't see where they're going to lose?
No. I think they'll win every game this year.
Interesting.
Until the grand final. Friday night, and they tried to hide this game at 6 o'clock when the Dragons were too strong for their Seagulls, winning 38 points to 12. As exclusively predicted by Sid Punts and former legend at the start of the year, the Dragons now one of the form teams in 2021, winning their second game in a row and sitting comfortably in the top eight. On the other side of the field, Manly have slumped to their third loss on the trot to begin the year, and in their past 17 NRL games, they have won a grand total of 3.
Wow.
It was a 6-2 demolition as Zach Lomax went on a personal point scoring crusade, finishing with a try scoring double, as well as 7 goals from 7 attempts for a grand total of 22 points.
Mate, that right hand defence for Manly was diabolical in this game. Corey Norman ran straight through at one point, even surprising himself how easy it was.
No one was more surprised than Corey.
Well, what's going on here? Then he threw a ball at Duffman's head. Bombed a try, but whatever. Sims, he ran through a massive gap down the same side to actually find this guy who ran away to score, and their third try was through that right side defence again as the Dragons scored just before half time. They continued the rout in the second half as Manly offered up absolutely nothing, and I can't see it getting any better for the Eagles anytime soon.
Well, I'm glad you say that, mate, because in anyone's eyes, Manly are in a world of hurt in 2021, and if they are relying on the return of Tom Trbojevic to turn their fortune around, then they are A-grade gold-winning medal, gold medalist, Olympic standard.
Gold smuggling.
Delusional idiots.
Yep.
Scott Bailey from AAP wrote on Twitter. You can follow him at Scott Bailey AAP. Grim weekend for Manly. Their start to the season in defence is now the worst of any team in the past 15 years.
Yeah,
the
right.
110 points they've conceded in the first three rounds is the most of any team since Canberra in 2006.
That's unbelievable.
He said, I think Manly's... Sorry, Cooper Cronk said...
And they got flogged by 50 in a trial game by the high-flying West
Tigers.
Well,
obviously, I mean, you can't take that against them because when you play in form teams like that, there's no team that's in more form than the Tigers in preseason. This is from Cooper Cronk. I think Manly's game is in a shambles with and without the footy. They are leaking down their right. The attack on the Dragons went through it at will.
That's what I just said.
They had 10 errors.
Why is he getting paid as an expert and I'm not?
He's getting paid from two clubs. He's getting paid from Fox.
Yeah.
They had 10 errors and 23 play the balls in the Dragons' 20 metres in the first half and haven't come up with much except the Dufty knock-on try that led to... Sorry, that led to Garrick's try.
Yeah.
Now, how's this from Courtney Burgess, Burjo, sorry, 0806 on Twitter, at Burjo, B-U-R-G-O, 0806.
Her son is a massive West Tigers fan.
Yeah.
The biggest.
He is. Now, she wrote this. She was at the game. A Manly fan took off his jersey at full time and threw it at the players in disgust as they went up the tunnel.
Well, the 110 points they've leaked is terrible, but they are averaging, get this, 9 points a game in attack Manly. Cherry Evans, I don't know, he seems to be trying hard, but it's not working at all.
He is in dire straits with his form.
But what about this stat? He made 37 tackles in this match. That's second only to Trbojevic for the whole Manly pack. They are just running at him and smashing him.
Well, that's good coaching from Hook in all seriousness.
Absolutely, and we knew that Hook would be a success there. When you're making that guy make that many tackles, it's hard for any half. And this bloke... Don't know what happened to that sound bite, but anyway, it's there now. He rubbed salt into Cherry Evans' wounds at the end with an absolute bone rattler of a tackle. Did you see this?
Yeah.
Folded him up like a garden chair. He got up smiling, but all his internal organs are busted. I honestly don't know where they go from here, the Eagles. I'm just happy for Ally A, who left the Tigers to go and play for a better team. How's that going for you, champion?
On the second game on Friday, well, this was an absolute, it made headlines for probably all the wrong reasons, as the Rabbitohs beat the Roosters 26 points to 16.
Smashed them, let's be honest.
An ACL rupture to gun half Luke Keary made worse by injuries to Lachlan Lamb and Lindsay Collins has completed an absolute turd of a night as they were belted by Anzac Parade rivals, the South Sydney Bunnies. Down 14 points to nil after a bunch of first-half mistakes, the Chookies were all but cooked as Jai Arrow and Warira Hargraves waged a slanging, smashing matchup up and down Stadium Australia. It resulted in Suluka Fafita punching Arrow in the back of the head at the bottom of a ruck after just 2 minutes on the field as the Roosters lost their minds and absolutely lost their way.
Yeah, lots been made of the Roosters wanting to come out in this game and bash Jai Arrow in retaliation to Arrow's carry-on with Teddy in Origin. But this was the worst tactic they could have gone into this game with.
Why did they buy into that?
The Bunnies, to their credit, they were on fire in this game. They got under the Roosters' skin, and it was pretty much all over by halftime. The Roosters scored a couple of tries late, but they made errors. They were off their game, which I tipped would be the case after they got smashed up by the Tigers the week before.
I mean, that's what the Tigers do. They soften teams up.
But now they have key injuries out of this one, so it could be a tough couple of weeks for the Chooks.
Yeah, I think so. And the Roosters made 8 first-half errors and completed just 6 of their first 12 sets.
That's
in
unbelievable.
The first 35 minutes. They got better after the next 5. Statistics, you know. They actually had 7 errors in the first 20 minutes as they looked very un-Roosters-like. The biggest battle was the battle between the fullbacks, Tedesco v. Luttrell. And Mitchell finished with 110 running metres, 2 tackle busts, 2 line breaks and 2 try assists to absolutely dominate the right side defence of the Roosters. Tedesco never has a bad game and still managed 151 metres, 4 tackle busts, an offload, a line break assist and a try in a lone hand for the Roosters. But he also had 2 very very uncharacteristic errors.
Well, I thought Sid's rough punt of Cody Walker for three tries that
You're
I'm rolling
again.
In. I'm rolling it in every week. I thought I was going to get up. He only scored two, though.
Mm.
But he,
I messaged you after two and said, you're on here.
Yeah, but I wasn't.
I stopped him again.
Yeah, good work. But him, Latrell, Gagai, they all had a great game. They're forming a lethal combination. I knew Latrell at fullback would work. And the Bunnies are looking the goods with him chiming in with the other fellas.
You didn't think that. Go back over last year's episode.
No, don't go back. Don't
Sid
go back.
Has absolutely endorsed
the back
Latrell
line
at fullback.
The Rabbitohs looks absolutely lethal.
The first game on Saturday saw the Raiders stop as the Warriors finish over the top of them, winning 34 points to 31.
What happened here?
Injuries, bro.
Unbelievable.
Like, the Warriors put on the biggest comeback in their club history, stunning the Canberra Raiders 34-31 at GM Cold Stadium. Early in the game, the Raiders had three players ruled out for the afternoon. However, went into the sheds up 25 points to 6 at halftime.
It's all over.
After a 70-metre try put the Green Machine ahead 31-10 with just half an hour to go, the result seemed a foregone conclusion. But an absolute avalanche of points to the New Zealand team seemed them hit the lead with just minutes left and seal a very, very famous victory.
This actually turned out to be a pretty good game of football. It had everything. It had players knocked out, a spear tackle, an arrogant field goal in the first half that I always love. And as you said, with 30 minutes to go, the Warriors were dead set gone. Then a fantastic gridiron pass from Nikarima to Murdoch Masilla saw the Warriors right back into the game. Do you see perineum stop?
Mate, the only thing I think of, and we talked about this just off air, I think he thought, oh, that's forward, so I'll just let,
well,
the,
it was.
I'll let the touchy just pull that up. And then the touchy hasn't called it, so I reckon he's dead set double-guessed himself.
Then he's thought, oh, Ricky's the coach as well.
Yeah, he'll take it all right. He's pretty good like this.
The Raiders, they had a chance to snatch this right on the siren, but Tuivasa Sheck, another last-ditch play right on the siren. He came out of nowhere to deny Rapana and to send Ricky Stewart into an apoplectic rage. It was fantastic.
Tuivasa Sheck finished with 137 running meters, Sid, six tackle busts and two line breaks and a try in the second half. But as you said, it was that effort on Rapana that probably won the game for them. The home side fought bravely. They were down to 14 men for 65 minutes of the game.
Yeah, that happens.
They had Tapine out with an ankle, Ryan James without HIA, Chris with an HIA, he was off the field. Jared Croker dislocated.
Is that Seb Chris. I love
right.
that kid.
Jared Croker had a dislocated finger. He stayed on. Curtis Scott had suspected rib fractures. He was defending out in the wing and he looked sick half the game.
What about Jared Croker when they were trying to put that finger back in? Oof. Just would not go back in.
Poor old Curtis Scott, he's out there hanging onto his ribs looking absolutely sick. The only time I've seen him look sicker is when the cops have bashed two shades of shit out of him.
He would have been begging for a bit of capsicum spray on the weekend. Anything but this. This is killing me.
Every time the trainer runs out with a bottle and puts it near his face, he goes, oh, no, again. I don't think the trainer should be wearing a blue shirt in other news. That's bad form.
What about the squeal that he does? That's weird.
Eventually, as we said, the pain of having only one bloke on the bench caught up with the Raiders, although in the final minutes they still had opportunity to win before Rapana, well, he got stopped by Tuivasa Sheck.
In a fantastic display. But as I said, this game had everything, including a Ricky Stewart blow-up in the presser. Here he is.
Vintage form.
Ricky. Lasting vintage. Only a minute and a half at the press conference.
I think less. I think it was about 48 seconds.
Here's a bit. I was here. I actually asked this question. Here's what he had to say.
I come in here because it's my job. I respect the fact that you've got a job. And I've got 20,000 hanging over my head. So if I don't turn up in here tonight, I get fined. If all the fine money was going to the Ricky Stewart Foundation, I'd tell you the truth today. Because then I get fined and I know the money's going to the best cause I know of. I can't tell you the truth. I can't tell you the way that game panned out because I get fined. So I'm not going to answer any questions. I've done my job. Thanks.
So apart from that blatant forward pass, what is he blowing up so much about? Can you answer me that?
Not really, but he got that little cough out at the end, which is...
I actually cut it out
cough.
At the beginning. He starts off... That's the longest part of the press conference. Yeah.
But that still doesn't top, well, the best effort ever by Ricky Stewart. Who can forget this classic hit? Yeah, Ricky, former legend from Four Grade of the Boys, mate.
It's compulsory for me to come in here, but it's not compulsory for me to have to talk to blokes like you, all right?
Yeah, fair enough, mate. I'll sit down.
He sounded so deflated.
So cranky.
Makes a difference when you take the mics to the press conference.
Well, the second game on Saturday, and you'd have to. This will go down in memory.
This should have been 6 p.m. on a Sunday. This should have been
6 a.m. on a Sunday.
1 a.m. on a Monday morning.
It saw the Broncos get their first win of the year, beating the Bulldogs 24 points to nil. In one of the lowest games you're ever likely to see, Sid, the Broncos were less shit than the Bulldogs to win 24-0.
Slightly less shit.
Fat Horse Stadium. In a real indication of the quality of the game, it was 2-0 at halftime. That's right, 2-0. That was not the A-League.
Wouldn't it be sick if the Doggies thought, we'll catch up here, we'll kick a 40-metre field goal.
Well, the two teams had 19 errors between them at halftime.
Wow.
At full-time. On a dry track in Brisbane, and every time they got in a good field position, a ball seemed to go down. The Bulldogs finished with 37 missed tackles and only 2 line breaks. 3 tries in the final 30 minutes absolutely flattered the Broncos, who weren't much better than the Dogs, with most deducing that these two teams will battle it out for the spoon all year.
Yeah, well, if the previous game had everything, this game had nothing. Second week in a row that the Dogs haven't scored a point, they are averaging 5 points a game in attack. Over the first 3 rounds, they've scored 16 points in 3 rounds.
That's still that magic touch of Dez hanging around.
Oh, it's sensational. What about their coach? Wasn't he the attacking coach at the Panthers? Whatever. That's manager talk if ever I heard it. The Broncos went into this game having lost 13 games in a row as well. And I don't think this win should count. I reckon we move on and we still see how many more they can lose because the Dogs were absolutely pathetic. But for the Broncos, Herbie Farnsworth, he was all right, I guess. He had 3 line breaks, a try assist, and ran, forget this, 269 metres. For the Dogs, Kotrick made 7 tackles.
It's a challenge. Well, the Broncos.
What are the highlights that the Dogs are going to put up on Twitter this week for their polls?
We should just jump off right now and have a quick look at that. Oh, wow.
Yeah, what a great game that
was. I'm tipping one of them will be picking their bags up at the carousel at Sydney Airport on the way out of.
They got 87% of the votes.
The bloke got on the first cab on the way out of there. That's a bonus. Well played. The Broncos have finally registered a win for the first time in 259 days, and it's the first in Kevin Walters' coaching career as Jermaine Asako starred in a 24-0 result. Trent Barrett, the dreamy Trent Barrett, and Kevin Walters had high hopes heading into the season. It's fair to say they're both in for long seasons in charge of their respective sides. The dreamy Barrett refused to sugarcoat just how poor the Bulldogs were against the Broncos. He said, "We were shit." No, he didn't say that. "I just thought our attack was ordinary, to say the least."
Wow.
Our attack.
Scathing.
If only you knew someone who could coach attack, the dreamy Barrett said. "Your halves are pretty easy to blame when the attack falls down, but there is a hell of a lot that needs to go on around halfback for him to play as well. He could have done a few things better tonight, Kyle, but the attack revolves around 13 people on the field. The Bulldogs have now failed to score any points for the successive weeks after last week's 28-0 defeat to Penrith. Canterbury have just 1 win from their last 12 games, and that victory came in round 19 last season when they beat South Sydney for a result that handed the Broncos the 2020 wooden spoon."
Yeah, well, we all know that that was the game that Bennett threw so that Seabomb would get the spoon, so I don't reckon that counts either. They are way off at the moment, the Dogs. In the next 2 weeks, get this, they face the Bunnies and Melbourne. It could be cricket scores coming up. Then they face the Cowboys in an eagerly awaited clash.
Let me ask you this.
Hit me.
Let's write this down now.
Okay.
Accumulated scores for the next 2 weeks, Melbourne and Souths.
See, what'd they lose? 28-0 to Penrith. That's looking like a good result for them, actually. Yep.
Between those two, what do you reckon? How many points will scored between South and Melbourne?
I reckon there'll be at least 80 points scored against them.
Okay, so I'll say 74. Write
74?
That down.
I'm going 82.
And how many accumulated points will the Bulldogs score?
6. 82 to 6.
I'll say 3.
An early arrogant field goal to go up 3-0 against the Bunnies, only to lose 45-3 when a late arrogant field goal from the Bunnies goes through. What are you doing? 74-3.
Yep.
All right, let's see. Fact checkers out there, remind us.
Saturday, the final game, things picked up a little bit when the Eels beat the Sharkies 28 points to 4. The Eels sit at 3-3 with a tough victory against an injury-ravaged Shark side. It was 10-4 at halftime before the Eels capitalised on a tiring Cronulla outfit. Blake Ferguson got a double and tries to Western Sydney accountancy firm Regan Campbell and Gillard. Ray Stone, sounds like a porn star, and Mika Sivo all had tries. And Mika Sivo, how's this? He took his Bankwest Stadium tally, just a Bankwest Stadium, to 25 four-pointers in 27 games.
That's an amazing stat for someone to score for Parramatta at West Tigers home ground.
As I said, the Eels are now start 3-0 to the season for the second straight year, Sid.
Yeah, I was out at this game. They were very impressive, the Eels. The Sharks surprised them early, scoring the first try, but then it was 28 unanswered points. Clint Torres, the King, Dick Fingers Ferguson, and the rest of the Eels' backline just dead set carved up the Sharks all night. They're unstoppable out there at Bankwest.
Now, in order to celebrate the NRL's inaugural injury round, when the players ran out for the second half at Bankwest, four had already been ruled out of the contest through injury. Wade Graham, Mitch Moses, Will Kennedy and Britton Nakora all failed HIA assessments and were not allowed to return. Sharks winger Sione Katoa injured his knee in an awkward tackle and had to be assisted off the pitch as well.
Yeah, well, it's been confirmed today. News just to hand. The NRL is going to introduce an 18th man for players that fail HIAs. In a knee-jerk reaction, I think, the game was sped up to allow for more attrition. Now we've got it. People are complaining. It's too many injuries. Too many brain injuries. I don't like the 18th man rule for head knocks. Have an 18th man or don't have an 18th man, not just for concussions. The rule will be exploited by coaches straight away. It's going to be introduced in round 5, and the 18th man has to be an emerging player and can only be used when 3 players have failed HIAs, which happened on the weekend for the second time in about 2 or 3 seasons.
I think also his first name must either be Aaron, Mitch or Michael. That's one of the other rules that you didn't see.
I didn't read that far down.
Sunday, and the West Tigers won their first game of 15 straight when they beat the Knights 24 points to 20. It was a game that ended at...
Get to play this very often.
No, that's right. In a game that ended at 4 tries apiece, it was the laser-like kicking boot of... That proved to be the difference. He kicked 4 from 4 to get the People's Champion team, the West Tigers, their first win in 2021. The Tigers had to work hard for the win with David Nofaluma. His winning try was in the 73rd minute, coming from a cross-field bomb from Luke Brooks. The loss wasn't the best way for Mitchell Pearce to bring up his 300th NRL game. Pearce made his senior debut as a 17-year-old for the Sydney Roosters 14 years earlier in Townsville and became only the 42nd player in the NRL to reach the 300-game milestone.
Yeah, it's always fantastic to see players hit that 300-game mark. But it's even better the Tigers get over the top of Newcastle in Newcastle.
I remember when there was only like 6 or 7 players that played 300. Now there's
right.
42.
Yeah, and there's some strange players on that list. Mm. They just outlasted. They just got good managers. But this was a fantastic win for the Tigers that we exclusively tipped here last week. We knew the Tigers would bounce back. But geez, we were lucky. Some of the handling from Newcastle kept us in the game right until the end. I thought we were going to blow it at the end, but my man. Snatched it for us.
As Fox Sports reported, there was an absolute howler of a decision from the touchy in the first half. Knights hooker Jaden Brayley produced a superb kick from dummy half, aiming for a 40-20. The ball looked like rolling perfectly into touch, only for young Tigers fullback Dane Laurie to get to it and successfully tap it back into the field of play. But as Laurie ran back from out of bounds to collect the ball, he leapt from the wrong side of the sideline and caught the pill, which should have been noticed by the touchy. The commentators also noticed the ball actually hit the paint and therefore should have been handed back to the Knights within their attacking 20 metres. He's come from outside the field of play and touched it, Vossie roared on Fox League. I'm sure he had not returned to the field of play before he touched the ball. I'm convinced, and he was right.
Yeah.
We've all got stories.
It was a close thing where his foot touched the ground as he grabbed the ball. That's not my main issue with it. It's when prior to that the ball landed right on the touchline. Like, it was covered in paint by the time he caught it. And the touchy was right there. But anyway, it's what happens.
The final game saw a real brown patch of form continue for the Cowboys as they got rolled by the Titans, 44 points to 8. The Titans absolutely destroyed a Cowboys side that looked lost, conceding 7 tries while only scoring 2 of their own in one of the more one-sided games of the year. The home team lost captain Michael Morgan before kickoff. They shuffled Val Holmes into fullback and pushed Scott Drinkwater into the halves, but there was no hiding an absolute stinker from the Cowboys. For the third week in a row, David Fifita was again in devastating form. He scored a try, had 4 offloads, 11 tackle busts, nice, and 178 running metres. The loss leaves the Cowboys as one of 3 sides without a win in 2021, and the job ahead for new coach Rowdy Roddy Payton looks bigger than most even imagined.
What do you think's going on up there? Like, I'm backing him in to turn it around this week, and you said I am off my chops.
I know
Toddy Payton. I know. I thought he'd be going well.
The first week he had a crack at his captain.
Yeah, that was dumb.
The second week he basically sat in front of a room full of dressing room, stared at them all until a few of them started looking at the floor, and then he put his head in his hands, shook his head, stood up and walked out.
Yep.
And I think last week on the weekend, he also lost his mind. From all reports, Andrew Webster said, I'd like to get Andrew Webster on the show actually, Andrew Webster said that they're all, as journos, waiting for Toddy Payton's press conferences because they are theatre.
So do you reckon the players up there have already lost confidence in him?
I don't think they've lost confidence. I think they've lost confidence in themselves, and they're seeing a coach that doesn't have confidence in them. So there's a bit of a difference there. And I don't know that there's a quick way back to this. I will say, but I'm not that sure. Michael Morgan was taking around $1 million a year.
Yep.
By anyone's stretch, he wasn't good value.
We've got more to say about that in a minute, but what about Josh McGuire at the end in the getting interviewed? I'm not sure if you saw it.
I think it was
on Fox.
Yeah, I did.
And he said, I'm sick of this shit. 3 years we've been doing this. I'm over it.
Yeah.
Not a happy camp up there.
No. Yet real estate prices are so cheap. I mean, come on, guys. as we mentioned before, Fifita was in brilliant form, but he wasn't alone, with the Titans forwards going absolutely apeshit against the Cowboys. Tina Famasua-Alawi ran for a whopping 183 metres from 19 runs, while Maokai Fatuaka finished with 129 metres. Finished with 129 metres, 3 tackle busts, a line break, and a try off the bench. Overall, the Titans ran for 400 metres more than the Cowboys, had 4 more offloads, 6 more line breaks, and twice as many tackle busts. About the only stat the Cowboys led the Titans in was missed tackles, 43-26.
Yeah, you can't win a game with 43 missed tackles, but this is the game that the Titans needed. Get a bit of confidence, getting their players playing well. It was against shit opposition, but this is a cracking win for them, 44-8. Good on them.
Now, Pam Whaley on Twitter, at Pamela Whaley, all one word, she put out a tweet that just gave a list of all the players that were injured on the weekend. And Jesus, as she said, it's a bloodbath.
It's a long list.
Ben Hunt is out with a leg injury. I think he's gone for quite a while. Bradman Best is out with an elbow. Sione Katoa is with a medial crucial ligament. Britton Nakora, concussion. Wade Graham, concussion. Mitch Moses, concussion. Joe Tappin with an ankle. Sebastian Chris, your man.
Seb Chris.
With a concussion. Sounds like a wrestler's name.
Yeah, I like him.
Ryan James with concussion. Jeremy Marshall-King with a foot injury. Luke Keary, ACL, gone for the year. Lachlan Lamb, medial crucial ligament. He's gone for a little while. Lindsay Collins, concussion. Dylan Edwards, broken hand. Tom Eisenhuth, broken rib. Michael Morgan, shoulder. I mean, and that's the ones we know about. There'll probably more come out in yesterday and maybe even today. I don't know. But geez, mate, there were blokes dropping off all over the place and good players too.
Yeah, but now they can be replaced by an 18th man, an up-and-comer.
Named Mitchell, Michael or Aaron.
That will fix it.
The Cowboys co-captain Michael Morgan is reportedly staring down the barrel of an early retirement from rugby league after ongoing issues with a chronic shoulder injury. The Courier-Mail reports Morgan's career is at a crossroads following his latest injury setback, which has ruled him out of Sunday's clash with the Gold Coast Titans at Queensland Country Bank Stadium. It's understood the 2015 Premiership winner has two options ahead of him. He can persevere with the rehabilitation of his damaged shoulder in the hope that it improves, or undergo another surgery, which would likely close the curtains on his time in the NRL.
Yeah, very sad news for Morgan if it pans out the way it looks like it will. Facing retirement, just 29 years of age, he only played 6 games last year due to shoulder issues and is facing surgery again, as you said. He's played 12 tests, 12 origins for Queensland. He won the 2015 comp, of course, and took the Cows to the 2017 grand final. He's still got 2 years left on his contract, a big contract, but if he does retire, it could see Brooksy head to North Queensland, so there's that.
I'll drive him up there. The Roosters can't win the NRL Premiership in 2021 in the face of a catastrophic injury crisis, which deepened on Friday night. Brayton Astor and Gordon Talisay. Lachlan Lamb and Lindsay Collins went off with injuries in a 10-point loss to rivals South Sydney, but by far the biggest blow was that of star half Luke Keary with a season-ending ACL. Former champion Rooster Cooper Cronk said on Fox League after the match that the blow was earth-shattering to Keary.
I said it was earth-shattering. This guy steals all my gear.
Knocked the spirit out of the playing group. And Asta went a step further, saying Keary's departure spells the end of the Roosters' premiership hopes in 2021.
What did Corey Parker say?
Oh, he said something, but I flicked over to the Fashion TV channel.
Used to love that channel. This is a massive blow to the Roosters' premiership hopes.
Midnight hot. 20 minutes ago.
Nick Politis is already trying to convince the NRL that further compensation should be sent the Roosters' way after this game. They're now without Keary for the season. Lachlan Lamb is out until around 10, I think. Mm. They also have Friend, Cordner, Billy Smith, Adam Kieran on the sidelines. They're a bit broken at the moment, the Roosters. It's seemed to all fall apart.
You hate to see it.
After they played the Tigers.
You hate to see it. The NRL is reportedly considering a state of origin qualification rule to allow Tongan icon and sex god Jason Taumalolo to play for Queensland, and it isn't sitting well with a number of names in the game. The Telegraph is reporting Taumalolo's manager Chris Orr has approached New Maroons mentor Paul Green, who coached Taumalolo at Cowboys, to put forward the superstar lock services. Taumalolo is no doubt one of the best forwards in the game, but he's represented New Zealand 10 times and Tonga 11 times since he made his representative debut in 2013. Good idea, bad idea?
No, it's a bad idea. I don't like it.
Totally agree.
The rules are the rules. It's Queensland versus New South Wales.
Some Papua New Guinea. Yeah. A little bit of...
There's a lot of grey areas for the Maroons, but you make your eligibility known. That's it. But an article came out today saying that the rule change would be good for international rugby league. So it looks like Ned Philanders has made up his mind and it's going to happen.
Oh, mate, I just disagree. I don't like it. I disagree so much.
Same.
The Daily Telegraph has reported the NRL will hire a private charter flight for the Broncos players to take them to Melbourne for this week's clash against the Storm.
Must be true.
Brisbane went head-to-head with Canterbury last week at 5:30pm on Saturday in a match that nobody saw. with a couple of locally, not the whole lot of it anyway, with a couple of locally acquired cases of COVID popping up in Brisbane on the weekend, the governing body is taking extra steps to ensure that the Storm-Broncos game will go on. The Broncos are expected to land on Tuesday night and undergo testing protocols in the time for their match on Friday.
Yeah, there was talk that this match would be moved away from Melbourne to accommodate the high-flying Broncos. I don't know why Melbourne should be punished, but now that Anastasia Pallet Jack has shut down Brisbane yet again, Wayne Pearce at Project Apollo, our hero, was straight onto it. Keep the game going. Charter a flight.
Johnson the stepper. For the heavyweight championship of the world.
This is a famous victory.
It's going to be Australia too.
Sports News.
AFL, hashtag talk other games down. The Fremantle Peggers beat the AFL's $100 million investment, the GWS Giants, while the Sydney Swans welcome back Benjamin Franklin to beat the Adelaide Cows by 5 goals.
Look, I'm going to say it here first. They're gone, the Giants. They've had all the help in the world.
Do you remember when Eddie Maguire said the way the concessions they've been given, the free picks in the drafts, this, that, that they'll win probably 5 or 6 premierships on the trot.
He says a lot of things, Eddie, but he's very litigious, so we'll move on. They have had all the help in the world. I've got to agree with Eddie there, and I'm calling it. Their premiership window former is now closed. Getting flogged by the Peggers by 31 points this week, but it was fantastic scenes at the SCG with the Swannies scoring over 120 points again this week to be atop the AFL ladder, where I expect them to stay all year. It'll be a big clash this week against the Tigers. It should be an absolute corker whenever it's being played and we're at. I'm not sure.
It was good to see Benjamin Franklin return.
Yeah, it's good.
Soccer.
You guys all right?
The United States men's soccer team will have to wait for another 3 years to attempt to qualify for its first Summer Olympics since 2008. The US was defeated by Honduras 2-1 in Sunday's traditional rivals. Sunday's CONCACAF men's Olympic qualifying semifinal, Estadio Jalisco.
They're no easy beats, Honduras.
In Guadalajara. In Mexico.
Yeah, you got all that wrong.
It is the second straight qualifying... Want to have a crack?
No.
It's the second straight qualifying tournament in which the US was knocked out of the Olympics by Honduras in the semis, and it'll be the third straight Olympic men's soccer competition that will not include the US. This is starting to be a bit of a hoodoo. I'm loving it. The Olympic qualifying failure also means that the USMNT has not played in a major tournament. What's the USMNT stand for?
United States soccer team.
Military Northern Territory. Has sure. not played in a major tournament since the 2014 World Cup.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to watch the Olympics now that the American soccer team's not going to be there. It's going to ruin it.
Mm. Cricket. This is really bad news. Indian cricket icon Sachin Tendulkar has announced that he's tested positive for COVID-19 as case numbers in his country soar. Over 400 million Twitter users were absolutely upset from India and one Australian girl. In a tweet on Saturday.
Wished him the best though, didn't
she? In a tweet on Saturday, Tendulkar, widely considered the world's greatest batsman, said he was experiencing mild symptoms. Others at his home had tested negative, he added. I've quarantined myself at home and am following all the necessary protocols, advised my doctor. How's this, but?
Yeah.
I want to thank all the healthcare professionals who are supporting me and many others across the country. On Friday, India's Ministry of Health reported 59,000 new corona case virus cases, the country's most in a single day since last year. Many of the cases are in Maharashtra state, and they've been smuggled in under toupees, which reported more than 36,900 new infections and 112 related deaths just on Friday alone.
I think Wayne Pearce should charter a flight straight over there and fix this caper.
Boxing. Anthony Mundine has officially announced his retirement, ironically on the same day that KISS started selling tickets to their farewell tour. Mundine spoke in front of a packed press conference that featured a who's who of the Sydney sporting world.
I was there.
Led by NRL super coach Wayne Bennett, former rugby league teammates and rivals Laurie Daly, Matty Johns and Gordon Tallis, and AFL great Michael O'Loughlin. And all gathered at Circular Quay to pay tribute to Mundine. Midway through announcing that his days of boxing are all over, he was interrupted by a phone call from surf champ Kelly Slater.
Yeah, all of us were there. Michael O'Loughlin, Wayne Bennett, Matty Johns, Gordon Tallis, myself. I got cut out of the photo again. Seems to happen a lot. But it was an amazing speech from the man. You love him.
I actually, mate.
You do. It's fine.
He's not a bad bloke.
Yeah, apparently, by all accounts. But he was very humble, even apologetic for any harm he caused being so outspoken during his career. It was an amazing speech. Here's a little snippet that I recorded.
If I offended anybody in my career, you know, honestly, I'm sincerely sorry. Find it in your heart to forgive me. You know, like I said, I'm a changed man. I'm a different type of cat. As you get older, you get more mellow. And, yeah, so God bless everybody, and, yeah, thank you.
It's the bloke you actually meet when he's got a camera in front of him.
By all accounts.
I'm telling you.
It was a very gracious speech.
He's a good fella.
He's had an amazing career, let's be honest.
Go to metinc.com.au. Go to metinc.com.au.
Are you having a function or an event? Are you part of a sporting or community group? Do you have a birthday, anniversary, Bucks or Hens Night coming up? Mayor Inc. can supply any custom product you can imagine. Custom-made T-shirts, aprons, stubby holders, cushions, shopping bags, hoodies,
tote bags, vinyl stickers and decals, or put your business logo on a range of workwear. Go to mayorinc.com.au. Whatever the purpose, Mayor Inc. has you covered.
Go to mayorinc.com.au. Go to mayorinc.com.au.
Now, Sid, as we mentioned earlier in the show, we always come up with ideas for segments. Yeah. So a lot of them don't actually happen. Some of them happen for 1 or 2 weeks and we realise that we just can't be asked.
Yeah, it's pretty much like that. We get our production crew together
before
every season and brainstorm.
P.S. if anyone wants a job as a producer, get onto us.
Yeah,
we please. Might be offering something.
Our production crew is you and me.
Yeah, now, but over the summer I said, I've got an idea for a segment. I want to do Has It Aged Well?
Yes.
And I said, we'll go back through old shows, old music lyrics.
In a time of political correctness.
Old comedians. And we'll just go back through their historical stuff. Now, look, obviously some of this stuff, it's not their fault that it hasn't aged well. Things were different back in the day.
So different.
Some stuff you go, actually, you're just a dirty racist.
How was that ever good?
This week, though, someone's beaten us to the punch, and we were literally looking at doing this in the next week or two.
I've already written a jingle for it.
Yeah. So this is Has It Aged Well, but we'll start with, this clip that's hit social media, including Twitter, by storm, and it's the worst bits of Hey Hey It's Saturday, and their racist gear, mainly against Kamal.
Yeah, poor old Kamal.
And so play your jingle, and then we'll go straight into the Hey Hey It's Saturday rundown.
Has it aged well? Has it aged well? Has it aged well?
No.
Hello.
G'day, Daryl. It's Lighting here. Is Kamal coming up next, is he?
Yes, he is.
Well, could you ask him to smile so we can see him?
Mr. Kamal, I'm a great fan of yours and I predict that album will go black.
Yeah. And, you're a real white man, Kamal, you know that.
I knew you were up to something.
Yes, I knew you, didn't you?
You got the wrong name.
You're a good sport.
You should be called white something or other.
If you haven't seen that video, search for it on Twitter. It won't be hard to find.
No, hashtag Daryl Summers. It's everywhere at the moment.
Daryl Summers said during the week, you know, if Hey Hey It's Saturday was on these days, we'd be cancelled. No fucking shit.
What about John Blackman on Facebook? Has doubled down. He's like, well, you're talking about Kamal? Wow. Unbelievable. Yeah. What else hasn't aged well, former?
Well, let's go back. Let's wind the clock right back to the late 70s of this show.
Uh-huh.
What's it called? Love Thy Neighbour.
Yeah, this is a cracker. Just Google Love Thy Neighbour racism. There's a million to choose from.
Here's a rabbit hole you'll fall in.
Here's just a little example of what we came up with today.
Has it aged well?
No.
Caught you red-handed with your black paw in the till, you pilfering packy.
Please, you're making a big mistake.
Yes, that's what they all say. You're making a mistake, my little chocolate drop.
That was the stuff we could play.
Yeah.
Mate, that has not aged well at all.
Nah.
In fact, how is that allowed to go on air in the day?
Exactly.
There is some stuff in that show. You want to go back and have a look. Love Thy Neighbour. Which, let's be honest, was a huge show in the 70s.
Yeah. Racism was hilarious back then.
Mate, wasn't it? What? But you don't have to go that far back. In fact, you don't even have to go overseas. If you want to hear...
It doesn't have to be racist gear. It can be kind of rapey as well.
This is transphobic even. This is perfect match. This is in the middle of the 1980s.
And this was in prime time. About 5:30 in the evening.
Rated G in other news. And this is a stunning response to a pretty innocent question on Perfect Match.
And your next question to number 3, please, Jody.
Okay. What was the most interesting and unusual thing you've ever seen?
Well, actually, I hope I don't offend anyone, but my brother sent some photos back from Asia just recently, and in one of them was a person with top half of a female, bottom half of a male. I think that's pretty unusual.
That is, yeah. You don't find that in Superman comics, do you? Number 1?
Would you believe I saw a lady who must have been at least about 16 stone trying to do a limbo dance under a pole?
Yes, I guess that'd be interesting and unusual. Number two, the most interesting and unusual thing you've ever seen.
Maybe I'm boring, but I suppose an old girlfriend trying to change a tyre on my car.
A slow process.
Some classic stuff there from a very young Scott Morrison. Some real good sexism gear there. Good one, Scotty. You're going to have a shit at Engadine Maccas.
What a great new segment. I don't know if it'll get another run. Should we leave it there?
Yeah, sure.
Let's play the jingle again.
Won't be the last ever show, and then the last ever new segment.
Let's get out of here.
Has it aged well? Has it aged well? Has it aged well? No.
Need a Sparky, then make the call to NDF Electrical.
Do you need electrical work done? NDF Electrical provides expert service and advice on a wide range of commercial and residential projects. With over 23 years' experience, NDF Electrical have you covered for all your electrical needs from the Gold Coast, Tweed Heads, Byron Bay and everywhere in between. For a free quote, go to ndfelectrical.com.au.
NDF Electrical.
Right, I said it's time for the greatest segment in podcasting history. It's time for this.
We all want you. A mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. And no message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
Yes, it's time for Grab a Mirror, brought to you by NDF Electrical. Don't forget, you can reply to my first tweet. It's around 7:30 on a Tuesday morning with the hashtag Grab a Mirror or hashtag GAM. I'll give up a follow-up tweet at around 4:30. Same thing. You've got to use the hashtag GrabAMirror or hashtag GAM. Sid.
Yes.
Might have a crack first this week.
Yeah, you go first.
Mix it up.
Yeah.
GrabAMirror, Orlando Bloom.
What's he done to you?
No, not for that. The shittiest of shitty names. But we'll get deeper into it. But one of the laziest articles written by journalists all around the world.
Except what?
Except the Tibooburra Telegraph, is the...
the pamphlet.
The Day on a Plate style article where journalists interview celebrities. They actually send them a questionnaire. They don't see them face-to-face. And ask them either what they eat in a normal day or what a normal day looks like.
Oh, I love these articles.
Now, one of the most famous Day on a Plate articles, and when I say famous, I mean dry wanks, was the one done by right-wing loony, the man with the world's flash smile, Pete Evans. Now, Evans, in an article in the Sunday papers, probably a couple of years ago now, told everyone what he eats in a normal day. And it was an article that really related to the common man.
Oh, yeah.
As they read through what this anti-vaxxing numbnut ate during a normal day. He started at 7 a.m. with 2 glasses of alkalized water with apple cider vinegar.
I start with 2. Oh, no.
Then a smoothie of blended alkalized water, organic spirulina, activated almonds, maca, blueberries, stevia, coconut, kefu, and 2 organic free-range eggs.
Yeah.
Obviously, the only thing I can relate to there is Macca, because that's where I go to get my breakfast.
The alcohol bit resonated with me.
Yeah, right. 8:30 a.m., he has sprouted millet, sorghum, chia and buckwheat bread.
You can't even say it.
With liver pate, avocado, cultured vegetables, plus ginger and licorice root tea.
Wanker.
12:30, fresh fish. Sauteed kale and broccoli, spinach and avocado salad, cultured veggies again. I hate uncultured veggies.
Oh,
I
yeah.
Say.
An arrogant beetroot really pisses me off.
3 p.m., activated almonds, coconut chips, cacao nibs, plus some green tea. I mean, that sounds delicious. 6:30 p.m., emu meatballs. I mean, they must be big. sauteed veggies, again, some cultured veggies, plus a cup of ginger and licorice root tea.
No wonder he looks so good.
And then 8:30 p.m., he had a homemade coconut, carob, blueberry, goji, and stevia muffin and a chamomile tea. I mean, that just sounds like too much for one man, doesn't it?
How many long necks did he smash?
Well, anyone still doubting that Pete Evans was a ketogenic cock knocker could probably leave their skepticism at the door as the TV chef, or part-time TV chef, full-time oxygen thief, confirmed what we already knew, that he was an Olympic standard goose. But this week, alleged actor Orlando Bloom, star of great hits like Elizabethtown,
good show,
Haven,
And not
the,
seen it.
The Good Doctor.
Haven't seen any of them, to
also,
be honest.
Also the husband of Katy Perry and former partner of reasonable Aussie sort, Miranda Kerr.
Yeah, true.
He stepped up to the plate in the tight battle for global wankerdom domination. In an article for The Times in the UK, Orlando revealed he waked at 6:30 a.m. every day and immediately checks the app that monitors his sleep quality. From there, he ingests a concoction of green powders that he mixes with brain octane oil, a collagen powder for my hair, nails, and some protein. After that mix, Bloom takes off on a hike while listening to Nirvana or Stone Temple Pilots. I mean, don't walk too close to a cliff. You'd be tempted to throw yourself off one.
He should come to an SKP's gig.
Before returning to his six-bedroom, 12-bathroom... Why would you need 12 bathrooms but only six bedrooms in other news?
Yeah.
Six-bedroom, 12-bathroom mansion for his proper breakfast. Porridge with hazelnut milk, goji berries and vanilla paste, among other things. He describes himself as 90% plant-based because he says he looks at a cow and thinks that's the most beautiful thing ever. Especially with Diane sauce. As for lunch, he says he cooks occasionally, but otherwise there's a team of people to handle that. Ever the common man. Work-wise, Bloom explains he has a production deal with Amazon and he's been spending his days staring out of his window looking for roles myself for others, for minorities and for women. I'm trying to be a voice for everybody.
Wow, this guy's amazing.
Practicing Buddhist since he was 16, Bloom also spends some of his day chanting and reading a bit of Buddhism, and then I'll type up and add it to my Instagram stories. Oh, boy.
Where's my phone? I'm following him.
Despite this, he says he resists using his phone. I don't want to be sucked into that black hole of social media because he's not an idiot. He also makes time in his day to build Lego.
We've got something in common. Does he cut his neighbour's hose?
I dip in and out while I work, he says, and does an hour of heavy weights to exhaust himself. Which,
fascinating stuff.
I mean, it brought me, I thought, well, if Orlando Bloom, Pete Evans are going to do their day on a plate, I know what the fans want. I know what Full Credit the Boys listeners want. The creditors, they want Former's day on a plate.
100%. This will probably appear in the Telegraph tomorrow.
Strap yourself in, because here's Former's Sunday on a plate.
Hit me.
7:15, wake up. Say bullshit to the alarm I forgot to turn off on Friday. Go back to sleep. 10 a.m. Have a Winfield Blue that's still behind my ear from last night. 10:30, get out of bed. Pull used tissue from out from under pillow. Bin it. 10:45, heat up last night's Super Supreme Pizza. Sprinkle that powdered Parmesan cheese that smells like sick on it.
This is scarily accurate.
11:20, go for a walk to the shitter. Check my Fitbit is still in my undies drawer from 2018. 11:50, check to see if there's any new videos on Pornhub under the category Amateur Cheerleader Loves Middle-Aged Fat Man with Small Penis and Mullet. 12:30, order menu log. Three-piece feed, upsize from KFC, extra salt on chips, Pepsi Max because I'm not an idiot, two bacon and cheese zingers. 1:45, do some heavy weights. Sorry, correction. Realize I'm too heavy to be called a heavyweight. 3 p.m., click like on the replies to my last night's tweets where blokes get upset with me because I made a joke about their footy team. 4 p.m., get ready for Sunday Arvo footy by checking Pornhub again. 4:15, push mute when Corey Parker speaks for the first time on Fox. 6 p.m., turn TV over to Fashion TV when Dragons and someone else kick off. 8 p.m., check Pornhub again. 9 p.m., get on Amazon and see if curtains are on special this week. Anyway, grab a mirror, Orlando Bloom, you absolute peanut. Maybe instead of playing with Lego, you could play with Katy Perry's lady bits or something.
Which you also Google.
10. At @glass_canoe. Very tight leash, glass canoe in other news, but whatever. Hashtag grab a mirror reads the Workers Cricket Club fourth grade captain. Not only did you drop your premier leg spinner to the reserve bench for the grand final and lack the balls to tell him, you haven't been able to get your so-called A-team to win a match all season. Hashtag no prizes for second place.
I love a good personal gripe. It's great. This is where you can air all your grievances.
9.
At that Mel Taylor. Grab a mirror me for exposing my 4-month-old to the hashtag NRL Broncos Bulldog disaster on Saturday. would not be disappointed if they bring the Rona back from Queensland, causing the NRL season to be cancelled. Also, when does Penrith's amazing 2020 attacking coach arrive at the Dogs?
Hear, hear.
Hashtag go Swans.
Couldn't have said it better myself on both those things, or perhaps I did earlier.
Eat.
At Schooniversity. Hashtag grab a mirror, kids' birthday parties. The awkward chat of parents who would generally have nothing to do with each other whilst their spawn run around pepped up on sugar, causing more spills than a politician on a Canberra office desk. Hashtag more stains than Parliament. Hashtag same mental age. Hashtag same amount of touching.
Good work.
7.
At this guy. Can underscore Crusader.
The legend that is.
Did he send us his address?
Yeah, he'd already signed up for a membership pack, sent that, got damaged in the mail. Thanks, Australia Post. But I've got to send him a bunch of other stuff, as well as our two winners from the tipping comp. I've been lazy.
Mm. Hashtag grab a mirror Queenslanders, you temporary magnificent bastards. Family Easter cancelled. Tick. Now I can sit back drinking cans, watching NRL and betting at BlueBet.au. Put a minute.
That's the spirit.
All bloody weekend. Hashtag you beauty.
Silver linings, people. Silver linings.
6.
At Cyril Sidestep.
Hey, Cyril.
Grab a mirror, Nick from NDF Electrical. I heard business was slow, but moonlighting as a stripper and doing hens parties at Byron. Come on, mate. Now you got the China flu and you're going to shut down southeast Queensland for Easter. Stick to ceiling fans or only fans, not swinging the pork sword to genuine's pony.
How good is it?
Genuine pony?
No.
Classic.
No, I wasn't going to say that. How good is it when there's an outbreak, people go through the app and see where you've been checking in, and you've been checking in at all these dodgy places.
That was
places.
Another segment idea of mine.
That's true.
I wanted to do COVID tracker only because I wanted to do Buzz Rothfield.
But now if there's a whole bunch of chicks that are part of this cluster, we know what you girls are up to.
5.
At P. Valandy's Anon. P. Anon Shaman. Hashtag grab a mirror. Saab, as in not the car.
Yeah.
The player.
The player.
It's bad enough you made up some bullshit excuse on the 2-hour commute from Western Sydney to the Gong for wanting to go to Manly, but to play Corey Norman into another 3-year contract is just mean.
Very good.
4.
At Cricket Flog. Grab a mirror, Russian hackers. It was bad enough that you replaced the NRL footy show with the AFL footy show, but when you still allowed maths to be shown, we knew we had some evil minds at work.
Whoa,
hashtag.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Ah, not a new maths fan, have we?
Yeah.
Well, this is awkward.
Why?
Well, I remember you bagging me and MG and saying,
sure,
I don't
did.
Know either of you anymore.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I said.
And what happened, mate? A couple of the girls at work got you to watch it, did they?
All the girls on the forklift out the back, they're all chatting about it. Cheryl and Beryl and Merrill. So I've got to be part of this. Bit of FOMO. So yeah, I'm on board. Love it.
Hashtag Channel 10 has been hacked for years. Hashtag no one's actually noticed.
Can I have a go now?
Go.
All right. Now, former, you know I love a good awards show. There's nothing I like more than sitting down to watch Grant Denyer or Waleed Ali or Daryl Summers pick up a gold Logie.
You love the Brownlows too. You sit there until midnight.
Love it.
Cheering for some bloke you've never heard of.
Oh,
you've had 150 on because of some dodgy tip on Twitter.
It's only slightly better than the other awards show that you and I like, Miss Bum Bum. That's a good show. It recognises the best asses on the planet.
Google that.
I love tuning into the Academy Awards every year to see which Harvey Weinstein production gets Best Picture. Or to watch Woody Allen make an acceptance speech for Best Director.
Admitted into Hall of Fame again.
But an awards ceremony that I was not aware of, former, that is my new favourite, is the Bad Sex in Fiction Awards. Now, these awards are handed out every year for the worst sex scenes written in books. And I don't know, man, even though it's supposed to be bad, it's hot as hell.
I find it good.
Yeah.
It's good to be bad.
Previous nominees for this award have been Stephen King. he can't write a sex scene, apparently.
Not in Christine, I wouldn't imagine.
Former UK PM Tony Blair. Nobody wants to hear about his sex scenes.
It was just in his diary.
And Australia's own Nick Cave. His was dreadful.
I love Nick Cave.
So here's a few examples. Press pause now, everyone. Go and get comfy. Turn out the lights. Light a Gwyneth Paltrow vag candle and come back to me, listeners, because this is going to get steamy.
Get some tissues.
Here's an entry from 2007. It's a book, Will, by Christopher Rush. Oh, glorious pubes, the ultimate triangle, whose angles delve to hell but point to paradise. Let me sing the black banner, the black bird's wing, the chink, the cleft, the keyhole in the door, the fig, the fanny, the cranny, the quim. It sounds like something you wrote.
Dr. Seuss.
Pulling at my prick now, pulling like a lodestone. Anne Hathaway's cow milking fingers, cradling my balls. I search wildly with the fingers on my left hand, groping blind as Cyclops. Found the pulpy furred wetness, parted the old lips of time, and slipped me middle finger into the sancta sanctorum.
Well, I think that's the new Wiggles song.
That's
the lyrics.
Hot, right? That's hot. This one, The Crime Tsar by Nicola McAuliffe. She tilted her hips and felt the weight of his balls on her. What? What is that small expanse of skin between vagina and anus? Perineum? Was that it? Her mind screamed, shut up, Lucy. You're not doing the Cosmopolitan crossword now. Sexy, right?
Perineum. Forward pass.
Forward pass. He stopped. What about this one? Winkler. Go down to your library and get Winkler out. And he came again so hard that he...
I don't think you're allowed to get your Winkler out in the library, mate.
Yeah, I made that mistake once before. And he came again so hard that his dick wrenched out of her hand and a shot of it hit him straight in the eye and stung like nothing he'd ever had in there. And he yelled with the pain, but the yell could have been anything. And as she grabbed at his dick, which was leaping around like a shower dropped in an empty bath, she scratched his back deeply with the nails of both hands and he shot three more times in thick stripes. On her chest, like Zorro. Hot, right? So grab a mirror, you magnificent bastards, at the Literary Review for highlighting some extremely hot literature to old Sid Punce here. I might wait till it's on Netflix. But we might have a new segment for my Sid Punce story time coming up soon.
It's a no from me.
Three.
At the biggest falloo. Grab a mirror of the stranger who is bringing in my wheelie bin. I know none of my family do it, and it's messing with my head, guessing the favours that you're receiving for it. Hashtag you magnificent bastard. Hashtag asking you, son. Hashtag probably don't want to know. Hashtag bin night tonight.
It's good. It's like the dude that mows my front lawn. I don't know who you are, but you're a magnificent bastard.
Two.
At Sacker Bob. Hashtag grab a mirror at Scott Morrison MP. Put him in it. And ignore everyone demanding standards like MPs being sober, avoiding hand shandies and disrespecting female staff. I've ordered a workplace stripper, stocked the fridges with booze and set up an OnlyFans account for my staff. Your leadership is inspiring.
Very good. Where's my invite?
One.
What got number one this week, former?
At Andrew RLP.
The great man.
Hashtag grab a mirror of the Olympics for starting the Olympic torch relay in Fukushima, but not having any three-legged races at the actual games. Hashtag I could compete.
He's always going to sneak that in, doesn't he?
Grab a mirror.
Big dick bastard.
We're all hoping that you'll change your way. No message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
NRL Round Preview brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today. Well, bugger me dead, Sid, if it's not round four already. And,
I know.
As we do each week, we thought we'd get one of our best mates on from Bluebet, the great Duncan McRae, to preview round four. Hello, Dunks. How you going, Trevor?
Yeah, good evening, listeners. Former Sid, how are we, boys? Another great round of footy. Jeez, wasn't there a big casualty ward this week? And the 18th man's now involved. So, former, we might get you off the bench. You're an up-and-comer.
What about the ridiculous rules around it? It's got to be a up-and-coming player and three HIAs have to be failed.
And I think
what's the point of it?
I think you have to get three pyramids as well to get the free spins. So, yeah, it's a bit different, mate. What about your blokes have to be favourites for the comp? That's encouraging.
Well, the Bunnies weren't they former? They were dominant on Thursday night. Geez, they took it to the Chooks. They never looked in doubt, did it from moment one. If you're betting live in the run at bluebet.com.au, You would have absolutely loaded up on the bunnies. They were in second gear, and it's all going to come down the end of the year, boys. You know as well as I do. Who's got the top teams? Who's got the fittest team on? You know, who's going to have their key players playing it at certain times? It's such a brutal game now. Everyone's as big as you now, former, and the collisions are just so much bigger and stronger. And rugby league has never been more brutal.
Mate, I've never seen Panthers Stadium scrub up so nicely.
Oh, didn't it look beautiful?
Renamed it, full credit to the boys, brought to you by bluebet.com.au stadium. It looks an absolute treat on Friday night.
Yeah, hopefully with a good luck charm for the Panthers now. They're all, everyone at bluebet.com.au, it's their second favourite team now. So go the mighty Panthers.
They reckon it's a real treat out there in the corporate box too.
Yeah, how was the box?
Yeah.
Well, the Garlow's pies had meat in them this time, so that was a bonus. I was happy with that. I haven't been out there yet, boys. Round 23, South Penrith, I think I might make my debut.
All right, we start on Thursday night. It's April Fool's Day, and it sure will be, because the Manly Warringah Seagulls are taking on the Penrith Panthers. It's over there at Asbestos Land Stadium. It's $6.90, the Seagulls. It's $1.08, the Panthers. The handicap is at 19.5, if you don't mind. Oh, Dunks, surely not.
Boys, I'm going to have to... That start is just too good for the Seagulls at Lotterland. Has Jason Saab got the Mitchell hook? Is he out? I've got to get rid of that bloke. Geez, there's some dead wood there. But I really thought they'd bring in Cade Cust at 9. I know they've named Crowther in there, but the Seagulls welcome... Oh, sorry, the Panthers welcome back Nathan Cleary. You know what, Matt Burton goes to centre, Crichton, he'll get a lot more of the ball around the ruck now. So you'd have to think the Panthers are going to win easy. But I'm going to tip the Seagulls with the 19.5, as you said.
Mate, do you think that when Turbo Tom comes back, he'll just have to do a couple of weeks in reserves because Dylan Walker's in such sparkling form?
Yeah, well, the backs have been on fire back there, haven't they? They've really caused some problems for the opposition. But I think they might fit the Turbo in there somewhere, former.
They're dangerous with Hank Scorpio out there. Geez, they look good. I don't even think they'll come close with the start. The Panthers will absolutely monster them.
I actually think the Panthers will win by 30, and if they don't, it's a failure.
Yeah, Kikau will score 2 tries. Heard it here first.
The first game on Saturday is the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs taking on the South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Rabbitohs will win.
The old foes, that's right, and it's one of the real rivalries in NRL, and of course that sees the Bulldogs at $9. That's right, $9. The Rabbitohs are $1.06. The handicap's at a lovely 21.5, if you don't mind. Dunks, how much will you be having on the Bulldogs off the start?
No, I couldn't back them with your money, former. To be honest, I think the Bunnies will win and win easily. They've had a good rest leading into this game. I know you blokes 2 weeks ago were pumping up Kyle Flanagan for State of Origin. I don't know how that's panning out. But
he's going well, isn't he? He's the heart and soul of their attack.
Boys, what about Jai Arrow? He's the new Sam Burgess, isn't he? What a player. I love him. Jai Arrow, he's the saviour for the Bunnies. They've got a great team. 1-17. They're as good as any team going around. They'll win by 30.
Much like my liver, Kyle Flanagan's a work in progress. And I could not have Bulldogs, even if they start now.
Nah, Kyle Flanagan's going all right. He's the heart and soul of their attack. They haven't scored any points in the past 2 weeks. They're going great guns. Sydney by 40.
What about when they were down by 2? I was screaming for Kyle to take the 2-point field goal just to get tied up. Did you honestly think there was going to be a try in that game watching that, boys?
Mate, it was a low game of football.
I tell you what, rugby union all of a sudden got a half a heart on watching that game, thinking we're back here. Super rugby.
What about rugby union? Did you see the game out at Homebush the other day?
I've got to be honest,
I think it was parents, girlfriends and grandmothers only. What was doing there?
They reckon it was very easy to socially distance there. The second game on Friday night sees the Melbourne Storm take on the Brisbane Broncos. It's $1.06 the Storm. It's $9 the Broncos. Again, handicaps at 20.5. Now, of course, it's down there at Rhonda and Catoot Park in Melbourne. Dunks, is there a chance that the Broncos could win a game away from home this year?
There's a chance, but it won't be this week. They do play the Bulldogs away, and there's a few other teams, but Melbourne, I know they're only on 2 points, boys, but you know you watch it as well as I do. What have they played? They've played South, they've played Penrith, and they had the other tough game against Parramatta. Mate, they are match hard and fit. They're dying for an easy kill, and they won't find it easy this week. This will be, I'm going to go Josh Addo-Carr to score the first try into the Melbourne Storm 13-plus this week, boys.
Yeah, that's a good bet.
$1.38, 13-plus, by the way, so don't give yourself too much of a rap.
Yeah, what about the first try, $11 for me? Yeah. Something for the Battlers there.
That's a rough punt. This is my rough punt. Panthers at $1.08, into South $1.06, into Melbourne $1.06. Put your hard earn on that. Melbourne will smash the Broncos.
The Panthers don't do it to them. You'll roll one on them.
We go to Saturday in the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks take on the North Queensland Cowboys. It's up there at retired Victorian Pensioners Stadium on the Sunshine Coast. It's the Sharkies are $1.38. The Cowboys, they're friendless at $3.05 and legless, by the way. They're giving away 7.5 handicap, so you can take them back to $1.90. But I don't think they'll get within cooey of 7.5, even against a really dusty-looking Shark side.
Yeah, tough one, boys. I'm going to tip the Sharks, but with no confidence at all. I think they're both, obviously the Cowboys, they're horrific at the moment, aren't they, lads? Ben Hampton comes into 7 with no Morgan. You know, they've made changes all throughout the forward pack. So going to be a lot of disjoint, I think, with the Sharks, with Wade Graham. I think that'll get them home.
Yeah, this is my upset of the round. The Cowboys are going to break through for a victory up there.
Do you think the Sharkies going up to the Sunshine Coast is just an attempt to get away from Buzz Rothfield, Dunks?
Well, mate, how does that bloke keep his sunnies on the end of his, I suppose, there? Like, it's just, can't work him out, Buzz. Look, I don't know, boys. I don't know, why is it headed up there? That's where the bunnies usually play. So maybe we'll be up there later in the year as well.
Well, it probably worked all year last year for the Storm, so maybe they're thinking that'll rub off. I don't know.
They've got no Shark Park, haven't they? So they're probably travelling around a bit.
Yeah, the third, they're probably trying to get away from the Dragons as much as they can, especially playing over there at No Means No Stadium at Cogra. The Gold Coast Titans are taking on the Canberra Raiders. It's the final game on Saturday. It's the one we're all waiting. It's probably the closest game of the round. $2.35, the Titans, who are on in red-hot form, especially David Fifita. $1.59, the Raiders. 4.5 is the handicap. You can have $2 with four, giving away 4.5 for the Raiders. $1.80 the Titans. That's on bluebet.com.au. Dunks, what do you like here? This has been an interesting game.
Yeah, great game. One of the matches of the round. I'm going to tip the Raiders 1-12 in a close one, boys. I think historically they've got a great record up on the Gold Coast. They're a good away team, the Raiders. I know they had plenty of injuries last week. Good win for the Titans away, but I just think I don't think they match up well against the Raiders. I'm going to tip the Raiders in a close one, 1-12, the Raiders.
Yeah, it's a massive step up this week to the Raiders. -4.5, the Raiders at $2. I like that. The Raiders will win probably 13-plus, I reckon. Ricky's fired up this week.
I know I'm one of many thousands of rugby league fans who hope that just on the bell, on a real dusty decision, the Titans get a penalty and they win by 1 point, just so I can get down to the press conference and watch Ricky absolutely go bananas again. So that alone, I will be backing the Titans, even though I don't think they can win.
Is Henry Perinara reffing that game?
I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't think so. And if he is, I hope he's flying up with the Raiders. That would be good fun. Sunday we go. The Newcastle Knights are taking on the in-form St. George Illawarra Dragons. It's up there at RSA Stadium, Sydney. And, it's $1.40 the Knights. It's $2.90 the Dragons. 7.5 is the start. Dunks, what do you reckon here?
Yeah, 13-plus the Knights, boys. Better the week for me. I think they'll turn that around after that shock loss to the Tigers last week, which all three of us tipped for the punters out there, boys. I think the Knights will turn it around this week. Blake Green's on the bench. I think he adds a bit more direction and takes a bit of pressure off Mitchell Pearce. I think he'll play a big part in the game. Big out here is Ben Hunt, lost with the broken leg. Adam Clooney in, or whatever his face is. not a fan of Adam Clooney. I'm leaving him out. I think the Knights will win 13-plus, better the week.
Well, as we saw this week, the Roosters got demolished because they faced the Tigers last week. Could be the same. Newcastle Knights got bashed up by us last week, but it's only against the Dragons. The Knights will win.
Yeah, I think the Knights too. I mean, Ben Hunt, the hot and cold Ben Hunt, the rocks and diamonds. Obviously, at the moment, he's diamonds, but he could have been rocks this week anyway. Ben Clune, massive fan. Not sure if that's his entire name, but I will be backing the Knights and backing them with confidence. The Sydney Roosters take on the New Zealand Warriors. It's over there at Mardi Gras Stadium where there's not a good seat in the house. It's $1.45, the Roosters. It's $2.75, the Warriors. 6.5 handicap. surprised the Roosters are favourite here, Ducks.
Oh, I'm very keen on the Roosters this week, boys. You've still got a good team in there. I know they've lost Geary, but they welcome in young Sam Walker, who's a great player. Drew Hutchison, will he play? Will they start Suwali and, you know, not tell us too late and, you know, move Marto into six? I still think they've got a strong side there, the Chooks. You go through it. Victor Radley, what a huge in he is back at 13. The Warriors, good win against the Raiders, but coming back up here to the SCG, the Roosters got a great record there. I think they'll win and win easily.
Yeah, I totally agree. The Roosters look busted, but they'll field a team and they will beat the Warriors in probably what will be a close one.
I like the Warriors. I like their front row. I think they are
definitely,
they'll dominate a lot of teams this year, and on that alone, and I just think they're going to take a little while to bet in the Roosters with all these injuries. I'll have the Warriors. I don't mind that $2.75. That's juicy to me.
Interesting.
And finally, on Easter Monday, is that the day God came back? I can't remember.
You're so religious.
I think it's the day they built the Ark. I'm not sure. The Tigers take on the Eels. Yeah, the traditional rivals. And it's $3.60, the white-hot West Tigers. It's $1.28, the Eels, probably on a slump at the moment.
This is our home ground at Wankbest.
Well, no, it's at Renovator's Delight, isn't it?
I think it's at Wankbest.
I thought they took it away.
I'm not sure.
Anyway, we'll argue with that later. It's $3.60, the Tigers, with Bluebet. It's $1.28, the Eels. Handicap, I said, is 10.5. Dunks, would you go two in a row with the Tigers?
Oh, I really think they can, boys. I think it's going to be a real tight one. They've, you know, obviously a lot of ex-players in both teams. I'm taking the, I think Parra, you know, I'm not, I think I'm going to tip Parra in a real close one, but I think the Tigers with the plus, boys. I'm a bit of confidence out of last week. You know, good long break into this Monday game. Everyone's talking Parramatta up now. Good chance for the Tigers to come in and pinch one there.
Wow, you've instilled a lot of confidence in me. I'm still going the Eels. I think I'm going to this game too, even though I don't know what stadium it's at.
How long's Mitch Moses out for, do we know, boys?
He's back this week, lads.
Oh, that weakens the Parramatta real, so I'll have the Tigers as well. any market movers this week with all the injuries, mate, and the premiership? What are we looking at?
Well, obviously the Roosters have blown out to $11, so there's something there for the boys. Obviously the Rabbits, Storm, tightened up Parramatta as well in the market. But you know, if you're betting on the end of the comp now, you just don't know, do you? But I still think, as you said, boys, the Bunnies, Storm, I wouldn't be giving up on the Roosters just yet.
No, jeez, I'd love the Tigers to blow out to $11. Mm. When is that ever going to happen?
They've sent an SOS to James Maloney. He's probably said no. Duncan McRae, could you cross the Anzac Parade and line up for the Roosters?
Oh, boys, I thought, mate, my tackling was, I thought tackling was fishing gear when I played, boys, so I don't think they'll get me back in there, but, well, I don't think so, lads, but thank you, Former. What about you back off the bench, the great man?
Mate, Kyle Flanagan also thanks you for his defensive tips that you handed him over. No, I tell you what, unless there's a couple of pies on the bench, I won't be there either.
I don't know if they get shorts big enough for you.
What's the bet of the week, Former? What's your best, boys, Sid?
I don't mind the Warriors, to be honest, mate, and I'll take them with $2.75. I don't mind that.
I'm going to the Cowboys to upset the Sharks.
Oh, nice. Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, I'm the Knights 13+, boys, so hopefully something there for the punters.
All right, mate, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you to bluebet.com.au, Bet Australian, Bet with Bluey, or download the app today. We'll talk to you next week, Dunks.
Thanks, lads. Always a pleasure. Really great to be here. Thanks, boys.
NRL Round Preview brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today. Yeah, thanks very much to Duncan McRae for joining us here on Full Credit of the Boys from bluebet.com.au. Thank you, of course, to Bluebet for supporting the show. But every time this week, Sid, we also get a creditor, obviously a Patreon subscriber who's a creditor to put in their tips.
They're not now, doing too well, are they?
They're not. For those playing at home, Sid, Former and Dunks are all on 17 so far. The creditors combined are on 12.
Yeah.
We started with 5 from Chinners. We got 4 from Benny, 3 from Linny. This week, 2 is paying even money. but Sid, who is it this week?
We've got Pugs. So if you think you're better than 5, 4 or 3, go to patreon.com/FCTTB. Become a Patreon subscriber. This week, let's see how Pugs goes.
All I know is that Pugs is a big fan and really likes you, Sid. I mean, really likes you.
Hey, g'day, Sid and Former. Hello to all the creditors out there. Ben Pugsley here with the creditor tips for round 4 of the NRL. So
The early games, I don't think there's going to be any upset. So it'll be Panthers, Rabbitohs and Storm. About $1.05 each, so they're good things. Great pain I'm tipping against the Cowboys, who are just woeful. And I think the Sharkies will be too strong up here on the sunny coast. Ricky's Raiders to bounce back against the Titans, and I think the Knights will be too good for the Dragons there. I think Brownies Warriors can get over the Roosters, who don't have any halves at all left. And probably the game of the round, Eels versus Tigers at Wank Best. I think the Eels should just be a little too strong, although the Tigers did play well last week. Anyway, happy Easter. Hope the Easter Bunny delivered. And I hope my tips do too. All right, see you guys.
The sack, open the sack, empty the sack. The boy's sack.
The boy's sack mail and feedback time. Sid, do you want to talk about the tipping comp? Or we let it warm up a little bit
more? No, we'll let it warm up for a few more weeks. I got 6 out of 8 this week, so I've rocketed up. I'm about 50th now.
Membership packs are back in stock.
They are. We've got some white towels instead of black towels, which a lot of the blokes are happy about. So go to our...
I know you're not happy with the white towel.
Go to our website or go to bigcartel.com/fullcredit to the boys or fullcredit to the boys.bigcartel.com, whatever it is. You figure it out.
Go to, don't make us do all the figures for you, for God's sake.
I'm going to post them out. I'm going to do everything around here.
Grow up, guys. Come on.
If you want to be part of our tipping segment each week, come and be a Patreon subscriber. You get some extra content on there, but you also support me and my alcohol habit. Patreon.com/FCTTB, I think. Go to our website.
Now, you went and emptied the post box yet again.
Yeah, I did. It's getting a workout. Lucky I paid the bills on it. Didn't think we were going to get any snail mail. People think this is us writing these. We don't have time for this.
I do not have time
this
for
this. This is legitimately coming through, the snail mail.
P.S. I forgot to tell you. Yeah. Someone put in a... Grab a mirror this week and it was something about something being boring, but not as boring as Normie Dorrell's jokes. Hashtag Yawny Dorrell. And then...
Did he like it?
He liked it.
Retweeted it?
Replied.
Good old Yawny. Hope he's doing well. How are you, mate? I know he listens.
First letter that you got out of the mailbox.
Yep.
Comes from the Carlton Tattoo Parlor. Yeah. Hi, guys. If you could let your listeners know, we have a special for all the Dragons fans. For this week only, if they buy a 2021 Premier's Tattoo, we'll throw in the 2022 Premier's Tattoo for free. And just a reminder, we can do a bulk deal on removing all old Dragons Premier's Tats from the past 10 years. And also, ask us about getting your 85, 92, 93, 96 and 99 Premier's Tattoos finally scratched off your poxy old wrinkly skin. Thanks again. The Carlton Tattoo Parlor.
They're very supportive of our show, the Carlton Tattoo Parlor.
I think they sponsor our live shows.
Yeah, they get a run on live shows now and again.
This next one comes from Sam, the captain of Evergreen Ship Stuck in the Suez Canal. Dear sirs, please be informed your shipment of 10,000 full credit of the boys' kill rags will be delayed indefinitely, but they're in safe hands with our crew, if you know what I mean. Regards, Sam.
Very good.
This final one, it's a bit of a celebrity one. He was up in the box at the South game the other day. It's from Chris Hemsworth of Byron Bay. Hi, former and Sid, long-time listener, first-time caller. I just wanted to tell you what a delight it was to be invited by Russell Crowe into the South's rooms after their win. All the players kept telling me I was the greatest actor they'd ever met. I told them that this wasn't fair on the great man who should have won an Oscar for his role as a shit commentator, Matt Nable. Then they agreed I was a close second but couldn't think of any other decent actors after that. Love always, Chris. In brackets... I'm the Thor guy.
He's the Thor guy. I saw him out there with his grandfather, or Russell Crowe. I'm not sure. He looked good, didn't he?
Jeez. Russell Crowe looks like he's eating a bear and left its ass hanging out his mouth.
Someone said to me he's just bulking up and scruffing up for a role. When is this role coming? He's been like that for about 5 years.
Swallowed his quilt.
What a champion.
Former's trivia time, Sid.
Oh, before we do Former's trivia, there's another live show.
Oh, yeah.
State of Origin.
State of Origin live show.
We're getting out our New South Wales Blues onesies.
Do you want to announce the guest?
Do you want to announce the guests?
Let's just say.
The tickets are going on sale tomorrow, so we might as well.
One is a genuine... Well, we must just tell them.
Yeah, tell them.
One is a genuine former New South Wales Blue great.
Great.
And hard man.
Yep.
And more stories than any bloke you'll ever meet. Mark Carroll.
Mark Carroll. Speaking of Russell Crowe, he was Russell Crowe's bodyguard.
Yes.
And tell me that's not going to get a run on the day.
And the second story, the second bloke, well, his best story will be when he sent Wally Lewis off.
Yes.
It's the great Bill Harrigan.
He's been on before. He's a great fella. He's going to come along. Both of them, again, if you weren't at the last live show, both of these guys play in bands. So we're going to get them up with the SKPs and see what they've got. So this will be going on sale by the time you hear this, the 26th of June at Penshurst RSL. We're going back to the original stomping grounds.
Back to the old clubhouse.
Yep, Penshurst RSL. That's at Penshurst Road, Penshurst, right near Penshurst Station, opposite Penshurst Pub.
Now, have we got a sting for this next bit?
We sure do. Let me play it.
Having trouble making conversation?
I really want to talk to Monique when she gets off the forklift, but I've got no banter.
When Dave finishes making his two-minute noodles, I'm going to say hi. But what do I say next?
Well, don't worry. Here's former legend with a fascinating fact, so you'll be the life of any social setting.
This is a very popular segment, former, probably more popular than our Has It Age Well.
It's pretty...
Not that anyone's reviewed that yet, but we'll see tomorrow on Twitter.
This segment's bringing more couples together than Tinder.
Yes, it absolutely is.
Now, if you want to pick up Cheryl at the water cooler tomorrow,
yep.
How's this for a bit of trivia?
Hit me.
Now, Michael Jordan is most famous for his Nike Air Jordan shoes, as mm-hmm. we all know. Now, the logo is probably one of the most recognisable logos in all of sport. It's the side-on silhouette of him leaping in the air on the way to a slam dunk
set. Yes, I know it well.
Nike have used that for all the Air Jordans over the past three decades. One problem with that logo,
yeah.
The slam dunk that it was taken from, Jordan was wearing New Balance shoes at the time.
What a fact that
How
is.
How about that, Cheryl? Get on the end of this. See you later.
Ta-da.
Baby.